Christic of Gary, Indiana.
Jehovah God, our divine and gracious loving Father, we indeed desire to come before thee once again, thanking thee for thy many blessings, the joy that is ours, for it is made unto us through thy precious Son, these great and blessed privileges of coming to thee, to have the standing Father through his merits, that we might come one with another to praise thee, and to sing of thy goodness. And gracious Father, as we continue to wait upon thee, we ask thy Spirit to abide with us. Will thou bless our dear brother Murray as he speaks thy word of life unto us. Grant unto him the wisdom from above, that through his speaking we might be edified and build up more and more in this most holy faith, and that we might walk closer to and accordingly to thy precious will. And Father, we ask thy blessings upon each and every heart. May it continue to rejoice and praise thee for all thy mercy and thy goodness. And now, Father, we commit ourselves unto thy divine providential care and thy watch, and asking thy continued blessing with us. For we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Dear friends, I hope you bear with us as we make two announcements that concern our Chicago Ecclesia. One is that there's a tract meeting next Saturday. That's January 8th at 2:30 p.m. at the corner of 55th and Ashland. That's the meeting place for distribution of tracts next Saturday. Also, that Sister Clark is ill and is at the North Mir Hotel, room 405. There's a phone number here, L-O-1, I guess that's Long Beach, 14234. Also, we'd like to, at this moment, lest we should forget later on, make sure that all the classes that have been represented here at this two-day convention have a Christian love and greeting sent to them by this convention as a body. And so we'd like to have a vote taken, all in favor of sending their Christian love and greetings to all the classes represented, show by raising the right hand. Now, that's fun. So those who are here from various visiting classes, we trust that you will undertake this burden of responsibility to take back a Christian love and greetings from this convention to your home class. Well, now we're to hear the final discourse of the convention by Brother Murray, who's going to speak on the topic, Walking with God.
It is with humility of heart again that we stand before you this coming to an end of a perfect day. And also coming to an end of a wonderful two-day convention. Well, we have in mind talking to you mainly from the standpoint of walking with God. We feel it would be opportune also to review very briefly what you have heard during these 2 days. First of all, you remember Brother Sunbaum very nicely called our attention to the little book and the experiences from 1829 down to the present time. And the essential need of study and meditation upon prophecy, which is, of course, history written in advance. Only those who are careful students then of prophecy will understand and comprehend the full import of present-day events. Now we're very briefly going over this matter, and then Brother Rawson, you remember, called our attention to the secret place of the Most High, and called our attention to the fact that Christ is that essential secret place. And we know in due time the whole world of mankind will be gathered together in that great pyramid arrangement, all in Christ. From that triumphant royal family, the Most High, the very apex in this arrangement, to that broad, unlimited range at the bottom, which will be the whole restored, regenerated world of mankind, all in and through the wonderful work of Christ. The great Father in heaven, we see, has kept himself in the background, so to speak, and has put his Son, the great Logos, the Word, that dearly beloved one, out where everyone will be able to see and appreciate in due time his wonderful service. In coming down, leaving his glorified condition that he had, even though it was not a divine condition, but it was the most glorious at that time. And that humiliation that was his, how he suffered and died and was abused and spit upon, that we might live. Wonderful things in the Bible we see. Then Brother Oskovich very nicely called our attention to the prospects of unity. And as we look around us today, we see every tendency is in reverse. Everything points to disunion, discontent, dissatisfaction, everything contrary to the spirit that should dominate and prevail everywhere. Unity and oneness. Now let us not forget these things. When we leave this place and go to our homes, let us just review what we have heard as we are now doing here. Then we remember how nicely it was called to our attention, the very need of a good sanctified common sense in rendering unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and rendering unto God the things that are God's. Oh, how oft we need wisdom in making those decisions. Only by the grace of God are we able to render always properly to Caesar and to God. Then, remember Brother Poland. He also called our attention, wherefore, harden not your heart, and recalled all the blessings that had come to the people of Israel from time to time, and even after all that God had done for them, they were a hard-hearted and stiff-necked people. Now I think that that lesson should be considered by us spiritual Israelites. After all that God does for us, do we properly consider the matter? Or are we also prone to forget and neglect and not properly appreciate the divine blessings day by day in our behalf? Then Brother Sunbaum again, he called our attention to the witness of the Spirit. How variously it operates, and how different our experiences are in the operation of the Spirit, and how our spirit then cries out to the Spirit for proper ways and means and course to pursue. Then, bringing the matter to a close, we're inclined to think of this scripture: forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And as we look around us, we see this day coming on, and let us take heed and forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, more and more as we see the darkness settling down over the earth, more dense day by day. And we, children of the day, children of the light, ought to be ready and willing to come together and encourage one another and help one another in their various efforts to let their light shine and give a reason for the hope that is within them. Then again, they that feared the Lord, reverenced the Lord, came together and they talked about things. And what did they talk about? They talked about the heavenly hopes, aims, and ambitions. And that's what we've been talking about now for 2 days here. Our hopes, aims, and ambitions. So in due time, we might be with Him and see Him as He is. They that come together and talk about these things. A book of remembrance was written for them that feared the Lord, reverenced the Lord, and thought upon His name. And we remember how it reads, they shall be mine in that day, when I make up my jewels. Yes. The royal family of Jehovah God is now being taken out of this sin-cursed earth. And what a privilege will be those who are of this jewel class, and will be the Queen of Heaven the antitypical Eve, who will mother and regenerate the groaning creation, the royal family of God. Wonderful things in the Bible we see. Well, in considering all these things, we see the importance of walking with God. Now, we might be walking, or we might be running, but are we running properly, and are we walking properly? You remember our Lord in Luke 13:33 speaks of his experience, and it's called working. There are no loafers in the divine arrangement. They either walk, run, work, or take a stand. That all means activity. No loafers. And our Lord says, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. So with us today, we're in the condition of things worldwide when a prophet is sorely needed. And someone ought to be able to give Jehovah's instructions to the people of earth today. And that's your antitypical John the Baptist, or the antitypical Elijah, that our pastor has very nicely called our attention to in that chapter in the volume. Well, I do cures today, and tomorrow, and the third day, I will be perfected. Evidently, our Lord is conveying to us today the thought that today would be the 5,000-year day, then tomorrow would be the 6,000-year day. Well, then the third day would be the 7,000-year day in which he will be perfected. And we're in that 7,000-year day. And Christ is indeed and in truth being perfected. In due time, that body will be complete, all on the other side, and then the blessings of all the families of the earth will take place. But now, notice, there is work. Yes, and by that work, he will be perfected. And by our work, by our walking with God day by day, we will have a part in this great uplifting work. Remember, there were three men who walked with God, and they disappeared from the earth. God took them. And they were taken because of their manner of living. They walked with God. And to us today, that is full of meaning, because in our daily procedure, in our daily conduct, are we really walking with God? Are we really cooperating with him? If so, then we first of all have to know what he is doing and what he wants us to do. That scripture, oh, that lovely scripture. how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Oh, how wonderful. But now, everything is in the opposite direction. And those that come together and forsake not the assembling of themselves together and speak often one to another, they are endeavoring then to walk with God and cooperate with Him and be co-laborers with Him in His work. We have a scripture here in Psalms 55, 13 and 14. Reads like this. But it was thou who reproached me, a man of mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. That's the convention spirit, isn't it? We've been doing that now for 2 days. And we have a great diversity sometimes among us, and maybe we do criticize, find fault, reproach one another. Like it says here, mine acquaintance, my guide, but some reproach. But in spite of it all, we walk together and go into the house of God and have sweet fellowship one with another. Now that's they that feared the Lord and spoke often one to another. You remember the Lord reprimanded Israel with these words. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You made a covenant with me, and I told you the requirements. And you said, all that the Lord has commanded will we do. That's what they said. But did they do it? They did not. And we can do likewise. We can say, yes, we have made a consecration, and we have complied with the requirements. But now, day by day, in every way, the question is, are we living up to our obligations? Are we living up to our privileges? Are we walking with God? Are we co-workers with Him? Have we become weary in well-doing? Getting careless? Sitting down, folding the hands? We can't do that. If so, God will in due time say to us, how can you cooperate with me if you don't do what I've commanded you to do? They must be agreed. And therefore, in our privilege of walking with God, it's necessary to know what He's doing, so we can cooperate. In order, therefore, to walk with God, we must first be informed as to His paths, so we can follow or walk with Him side by side along that path. Oh, how nominal Christianity today, who think they're walking with God, they're doing God's work, they're converting the world. Oh, what a miserable failure. And they think they are walking with God. Now then, we're going to consider a very prominent character, a very noble individual who thought
He was walking with God. You know who that is? That was Saul of Tarsus. A Pharisee of the Pharisees. In every way, upstanding. And he thought that he was walking with God. When he got papers and started for Damascus, and he says, I'll exterminate this pestiferous group of people who are endeavoring to put to naught Judaism, for which he had been a champion. He thought he was walking with God. And we remember what happened. Honesty and sincerity does not make one right. You may be ever so honest and sincere, but you can be walking in the wrong path. So it's very essential that we first of all learn the right path, the right way, to walk in it and be walking with God. So we see what happened. Saul of Tarsus, who felt justified in his course in walking with God, but what had happened? Why, God had changed his course of action. He had changed his path and had taken a diverting way from the old order in which the Jews only were his favored people. You only have I known of all the families of the earth, and Saul of Tarsus was fighting for that. Jehovah had also walked that way in the past, but now Jehovah God had taken another path, and Saul of Tarsus was missing it. And he was still in the old path. And then, remember the experiences of Saul of Tarsus was smitten to the ground. Why? Why, he was honest. He was sincere. He thought he was walking with God. But God had to strike him down. And then, as Saul considered the matter, the message is, remember, Saul, why kickest thou against the pricks? Your conscience is telling you you're not doing right. Why don't you listen to your conscience? Now the great Saul of Tarsus was having a battle. And in 3 days, remember, he pondered these things. He wanted to walk with God. But lo and behold, he was not doing so. God had made a change in his methods, and Saul was not aware of it. So remember the end, how it all turned out. But I like to emphasize this when we consider Saul of Tarsus. Maybe I've done this before, but I like to do it again. That great and powerful man, Saul of Tarsus, was a mighty man in his day, a Roman citizen, yes. But God says, I can't use big people. I only use little ones. Have you ever stopped to think what happened? That powerful Saul of Tarsus was whittled down. And it took about 10 years to bring that powerful man down to a point where he was little. And you know the word Paul means little. Yes. Now, when the time arrived, when he was little, then Barnabas goes over and gets him, brings him over to Antioch, and then they begin the ministry. But Saul of Tarsus You remember, tried to preach Jesus Christ is indeed of God at Damascus and Jerusalem. But he was still too big. He was not properly walking with God. And when he became little enough, then he could do that. And he did. So with us today, we need to make decisions many times. Is this the right way? Is this walking with God? Is this working with God? Is this cooperating with Him? Now we may be honest and sincere, but how very necessary it is to know first of all what God's path is, so we may walk with Him. Then you remember there was another demonstration in the days of the Apostle Paul, or Saul, in Acts 5:34-40. When Gamaliel, who had been the teacher of Saul of Tarsus, he came to the rescue in a confusion there, and he said, "Now it may be these things are not of God, and it may be they are, but be very careful. If you render the wrong decision in this case, you might be fighting against God." And he settled the confusion, remember, by good, sound judgment in handling that disorder. So you see how important it is that we first of all find out what God is really doing. Now, I think He's doing something now. And I think that some of God's people, some of God's consecrated people, are being given an opportunity and a privilege today to do something, and many are not seeing it. So how necessary to look into these things and know what is being done, what God is really doing. To walk with God, we must be first walking in the light. Yes, when I see Saul of Tarsus was not keeping up with the light. Now, we have to do that. We have to keep up with the light. And if we don't, in due time, we'll be in darkness. The light will go on and leave us. I think that's happened to some. They haven't kept up with the light. For God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, what do? We lie. And do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, what do we have? We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. Now, my dear brethren, this matter of fellowship is not a condition of toleration. You and I may be very different, but I tolerate you and you tolerate me. Is that fellowship? No. We have to have things in common. We have to be of one mind and one heart. We have to be children of the light. We have to walk in the light, children of the day. And we have to walk with God and find His paths and faithfully walk therein. But whoso saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. Then we find our Lord as our great pattern, we find how he walked. And then we walk in his path. We walk with him. And we find that is a life of sacrifice. Here we have a test by which to determine our stage of development as new creatures. It is no light thing to receive the Word of God and heed it, retain it, and comply with its requirements. No wonder our Lord says, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Many seek to go in thereat and are not able, because so much is involved in walking with God at this time. No wonder he puts the highest value he has in his power to those who are able to walk with him, cooperate with him at this time. Which, of course, is the divine nature, the very nature of God himself, his immediate royal family. Yes, so much is involved. Yes, a lot of people hear, but they don't heed and follow. But we have a test by which to determine the stage of development as a new creature. And we need to be on guard, always. This ability to receive, retain, and comply with its requirements should be on the increase, year by year. Now we're passing out of 1 year, going into another. Well, then we should be better in every way in 1955 than in 1954. You know, there is no end, really. We might say, well, we've reached the mark. But as long as we're in this tabernacle, there is always room for improvement. Let us never get the thought that we have reached the mark and the conflict is finished. And now all we need to do is just to wait for Gabriel to blow the trumpet. Some are doing that. I think all activity, all work, everything has been done. Now all you have to do is to sit down and encourage one another and comfort the brethren. That's all. Well, there never was a time when the world needed a light as today. And where is our light? Some have put it under a bushel. But we don't want to do that. And we can't do that if we walk with God. Then in verse 10, or in verse 6, of this 1 John 2 and 13, says we walk as he walked. Then we have to learn how he walked. Then daily we're in harmony with the will of God. Full submission thereunto, even unto sacrificial death. When we consider this high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and we consider the great cloud of witnesses. Sometimes these old ancient worthies put us to shame. Then he says, remember Paul tells us, when we consider them, let us lay aside every weight and every sin that doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race set before us, ever looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and despised the shame, and is now sit down at the right hand of God. Consider him, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. You have not yet resisted unto blood, unto death. As long as we have not done that, we're still in danger. Now, I like the way John puts this matter. He says in writing to the church, you remember how he puts it? He says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. I write unto you, young men, because ye are strong and have overcome the wicked one. That's two stages of development. You know, it says, let everything be established by two or three witnesses. That's the divine formula. And now we have three stages here. And the third stage, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that was from the beginning. The father stage, then, of Christian development is the final stage in which, as a father, one who gives life to others, then anyone who comes in contact with this one who has arrived at the father stage of Christian development, something radiates out, life. And they can say truly, it was good to have been in the presence of this one. Yes, life radiated out. And they received of that in a measure. But now you see there are three stages there that John mentions. Little children, young men, full stature of a man in Christ Jesus, and also the father stage. Now it's high time that we are in that father stage. And if we were all in that stage, then what a wonderful power and influence it would be when we come together and encourage one another. All who have arrived at the father stage of Christian development. And they have known him, it was from the beginning. That means that they have intimate association and contact with the great I Am. Him that was from the beginning. Yes, and that's what we seek for. Intimate association and contact with our Heavenly Father, the great I Am. Who is from the beginning? So you see how needful it is to look around and examine ourselves carefully to see whether we are really walking with God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:14. It is one thing to profess sonship, and quite another thing to be actuated by it. A continuation in following the natural tendencies should be good reason to doubt that one is the child of God. Yes, our profession should be borne out by our daily walk in life. Then we walk as he walked. Walking with God. Walk in the newness of life. Everything is changed. All things put aside. Everything is now new. A newness of life, if we're walking with God. new hopes, new aims, new ambitions. Walking with God, yes. We are in the world, but not of it. We're walking honestly, as in the day. We belong to a new era, and are therefore to live, even at the present time, as near as possible, up to its perfect standard. So to live means self-denial, and we will be misunderstood, thought to be foolish, considered enemies. Walk in good works, for we are His, God's workmanship. Walk unto good works, indeed. Walk worthy of the vocation wherein we are called. Always striving to honor and glorify our King, whose ambassadors we are. Walk as children of light. Ephesians 5 and 8. Walk in the light. Light of the world. As children of light, every day, in every way, our light will be shining more and more clearly. And when placed upon a candlestick, it will enlighten all who come into the house. Walk in love. Everything with which we are connected, their thoughts, words, deeds, covered with the mantle of love. Love is the fulfilling of the law. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Love our neighbors. Love worketh no ill to its neighbor. Love suffereth long, and is kind. Love envieth not the success of others. Vaunteth not itself, but tends to humility. Our Lord attained through His humility everything that Lucifer sought for. Power and dominion, what Lucifer sought for. But he took the wrong course. Only by humility can we attain, and our Lord attained it. Walk circumspectly. You know, in old times, miners had a light on their forehead and I believe on their toes. Their path was well lighted. And here's a little incident that I like to use. Some of you heard this before, but not all. Did you ever watch a cat walk across a muddy road? I've seen it. And that cat will be very careful where it puts the paw down. And when it raises it up, it'll even shake. There might be some mud adhering. Now, every step is like that. Now, when we walk circumspectly, we're doing just that. And every step we take in walking with God, we need to be careful how we put our foot down, and if something might be adhering, shake it off. Don't want no contamination to hang on step by step. So you see how important it is to notice carefully every little detail in walking with God. Yes, a Christian, as he beholds the many pitfalls that lurk in his way, with great circumspection, makes straight paths for their feet. Well, in character, you see, as we are striving to attain, is that mental, moral, and religious quality of one's cultivated disposition. That's character. Therefore, if we walk with God, we should be the most exemplary and the most wonderful people in all the world. Now we're going to cite you to a man of text that you will have, I think, next month. You're all familiar with it, but let us just consider it. According to the scriptural standard, beg pardon, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 15. Now that's, oh, by the way, it's January the 8th. Thought it was in February. January the 8th. Now listen. According to the scriptural standard, the elect church of Christ should be the most polished, the most refined, the most polite, the most generous, the most kind of all people in the world, and should be all these things in the most absolute sense. Not in the mere sense of an outward form, an appearance of kindness, gentleness, and so forth. No. But it should be a kindness from the heart, real and genuine. The Lord's Spirit and the Spirit of the truth, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of justice, motivating us throughout in every thought, word, and deed. So let us walk circumspectly then, look around carefully, and find out where God is walking, and let us then walk with God. May the Lord add his blessing.